This is a Day One podcast extra, bringing you a conversation between our host, Peter Wallace, and a special guest. For more information about Day One, which brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, visit our website at dayone.org.
Welcome to the Day One Podcast Extra. This is Peter Wallace, and with me today is the Reverend Dr. M. Craig Barnes. Craig is the Robert Manili Professor of Leadership and Ministry at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where he's also the Senior Pastor of Shadyside Presbyterian Church. Before coming to Pittsburgh in 2002, he served as Senior Pastor of National Presbyterian Church in Washington, D.C. Craig is also the author of several popular books, including Searching for Home and Sacred Thirst. Craig, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
You are serving in two different venues. We spoke about this on the Day One program, a church congregation and a theological seminary. Is the way you serve those two groups of people very different?
Yes, I think so. When I'm serving the church, I'm there very much as the pastor, and I have the role of caring for this congregation through the ministry of word and sacrament. When I'm at the seminary, I'm a professor, and so I don't have a pastoral responsibility to the students as much as I have a responsibility of training them to be pastors. And it's really important to keep those roles clear and separate.
What would you say are the major issues that seminarians are facing today in terms of their faith and their calling?
Most of our seminarians are struggling to make sure that they are in fact called. Most students come to seminary not with a clear sense of call, but they come to seminary to figure out if they're called. And so it's during the 3 years that they are engaged in the attaining of their Master's of Divinity degree that they're also figuring out along the way if they have a call to ministry. And that puts a bit of a lien on some of their studies, particularly when it gets difficult. They ask themselves if they even belong there. And so they need professors to help them discern calling, and that's one of my jobs on the staff.
Tell me about your own calling. How did you get into the ministry?
I grew up in the home of a pastor. My dad was a pastor. My brother is a pastor. My uncle is a pastor. This is kind of our family business, Peter. This is what we do, which terrifies my kids, by the way.
Are there differences in seminary life and, say, the educational strategy that you notice at Pittsburgh as compared to your days as a seminarian at Princeton?
Seems to me that these days students are much more aware of the diversity issues. They're much more aware of the plurality of the world, and they're trying to make sense of their own faith commitments in light of the fact that they will be serving as a pastor and a society that accepts Christianity, but it also accepts a lot of other faiths now, and no faith at all. And they're trying to figure out what does it mean to have claims to truth in a society that is pretty uncertain that there are any claims to truth.
And at the seminary, you are the professor, the Robert Manili Professor of Leadership and Ministry. And tell us about the courses you teach.
I teach a variety of courses that are related to theology in a practical context. In fact, the course that I just completed teaching was Reformed Theology in a Parish Context, where we take some of the classic affirmations of Reformed theology and we press it for its relevance to a day in the life of a parish pastor. And so we do a lot of case study work. I also teach pastoral care, homiletics, pastoral arts, which is basically a laboratory. In that class, we just make sure we're baptizing the right end of the baby and stuff like that. And I also teach the introductory spiritual formation class.
And you served in the church for over a quarter century.
Yes, it's been 27 years.
So as you see changes in the church community over those years, what excites you the most?
I like serving in a day and age in which it's no longer expected for people to come to church. I love the fact that people who come to church now don't seem to get any social credit for it. They're coming because they have authentically spiritual motivations for being in church. Even a quarter of a century ago when I started, we worried a lot about social Christianity. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any such thing left, at least not in the part of the country where I serve. The people who are coming to the church, who are choosing to join church, who are serving the church, are doing it because they really believe in what we're talking about, as opposed to it being one more social club to which mm-hmm. they belong.
Well, as you look back, what's the most frustrating thing that you've seen?
The most frustrating thing for me personally over these years has been the denominational malaise. The denomination that I serve and am ordained in and a part of just seems locked in arguments that go nowhere and take up an enormous amount of energy and time and money. And all of it seems to distract us from our mission. And it does little for the local parish, which is where my heart is. And I see other mainline denominations mm-hmm. caught in the same quagmire, and I don't see how to get out of it. And that has been the great heartache and frustration mm-hmm. to me. As a denominational loyalist, I love my denomination, but I don't know how it's going to get unstuck.
And those issues and differences in all the denominations are keeping the message that we're trying to proclaim to get out. Would you say that?
I think it does. I think it makes it very hard for these denominations now to make a statement as a united church. And that makes it very tempting for local church pastors like myself to just try to go our own way and just make our own statement. And we look at some of the churches that aren't a part of denominations and we almost envy their ability to freely proclaim and to get on with the mission of the church. I don't want to be that because I think the church needs to be a part. I think each local congregation needs to be a part of a united church. But it is very frustrating mm-hmm. to find leadership from our denominations these days.
Well, what's your sense of where the church is going, the future of the church? It seems like there's a lot of different approaches to theology and worship and service. We know that it is apparent that the younger generation seem to be more socially aware and active and very media-oriented and technologically connected and so forth. Is the church going to benefit from these things, or what do you see?
It seems to me that the 21st century is not an era for monolithic understandings about the church. It used to be that you could say, well, the Presbyterian church looks like this, or the Lutheran church looks like this, or the Episcopalians look like that. These days, you can no longer say that because mm-hmm. each of these denominations have so many different expressions of church within them. In the denomination that I serve, you find some that very, very formal churches, very traditional churches. You find others that are almost storefront operations mm-hmm. and some that are using all forms of media. And other churches, if you brought out a screen or a guitar, people would go into cardiac arrest. And the denominational traditions have to figure out how to accommodate this kind of difference because I think we're only going to see more of that in the years ahead.
I notice another theme that comes through often in your work, especially your writing, the theme of yearning or thirsting for God, searching for a home. There's a longing for meaning and purpose. I'm curious as to why you've been drawn to that theme. Where and how do you find the most help in satisfying those yearnings personally?
When I was in seminary, my homiletics professor told us that even the best preacher is never going to have more than three sermons. And what he meant by that wasn't that you just keep preaching the same sermon over and over, but that the gospel is huge and no one preacher can hold up all the corners of the gospel. And this professor was calling us to be true to the corner of the gospel that has claimed you. And there are typically a few themes out of Scripture that just tell your story, and you realize that you were created to talk about this. And you'll preach on the whole lectionary, you'll preach out of the whole Scripture, but you keep finding it irresistible to come back to the part of the stream that you know the best, because that's where you have found thirst for your own insatiable soul, and that's where the living water came to you. And so one of those themes in my own life has been that of searching, yearning, longing, and how it is that God enters the search. And God doesn't necessarily give us what we're yearning for. What God gives us is God. And the more we pay attention to that, the easier it is to give up the yearning.
earlier when we were talking, you confessed to me that you were an introvert, which surprised me greatly. And I've come across a number of very outgoing people who, because of their role as a pastor or a teacher, you wouldn't ever know that they were introverted. How do you deal with that? Because it's got to be kind of both a blessing and a curse.
Yes, it is. One of the things that I teach the students that we have at the seminary is it's their job to care for the people in public ways. So that after the worship service, I stand at the door, I greet anybody who will walk through the door, and then I go down to the fellowship hall and I get a cup of coffee and I chit-chat and I do all of those kinds of things that pastors know they have to do because that's my job. And people want to talk to their pastor, even if you're talking about the latest sale on snow tires that someone got or something that seems kind of inane. That's their chance to chat with the pastor. And so I've learned that you have to take small talk very seriously. And often there's even a subtext beneath the small talk that the pastor's listening for. So I do that because that's my job. And it's not a gift to do that. It's a skill. Mm. And anybody can learn the skill. Now, the gift is enjoying it and finding that you're energized by that. And that's the blessing that extroverts have. Extroverts find that the more they chat with people, the more energized they get. And I don't find that. I find that the more I chat with people, even if I'm having a good time, which I usually am, and am enjoying it because I love these people, the longer I chat, the more the battery gets run down. Mm-hmm. And so I've just had to learn to pay attention to when I'm about to redline. And then I just excuse myself and I have to go back to my study, or I have to go home, or I have to go to someplace. And if I'm alone, even for just a short amount of time, I can recharge the batteries. Mm-hmm. Whereas an extrovert gets charged by these social gatherings, the introvert finds them equally enjoyable, but has to withdraw in order to find some time alone to get recharged.
You're obviously a very busy person with a lot of responsibility on your plate, two almost full-time jobs. How do you enjoy that downtime? How do you cultivate your own spiritual relationship with God?
I don't see anybody at the church or the seminary until 11 o'clock in the morning. Hmm. So I spend the first 3 hours of every morning alone in my study. It's, as an introvert, it won't surprise you to hear me say it's my favorite part of the day. I work on the sermon a little bit of each day. So some of those 3 hours are devoted to sermon preparation. Some of it's devoted to my own devotions. And some of it's devoted just to reading, whether I'm reading theology or a novel or anything that will help my writing better. I have found that nothing actually has helped my sermon writing more than reading novels. But that's all my time until 11 in the morning. The church knows that. The seminary knows that. My students, my parishioners know that. Most importantly, the secretary knows that so that I don't get interrupted. And if someone calls those during those 3 hours, the secretary will say he's tied up. He'll get right back to you. But having been the pastor there now for a number of years, nobody calls until 11.
I often ask our preachers what books or novels have been helpful to their own thinking or meditation. What would you say? What are some of those books?
I just finished reading an extraordinary novel called Marriott and Ecstasy by Ron Hansen. I highly recommend it. A lovely novel about a nun who gets kicked out of the convent for her excesses and piety, which is amazing. She has learned to truly love God in ways that those who have reduced faith to a routine practice can no longer accept.
Excellent. Craig Barnes, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you. It's been a great honor to be a part of this ministry.